tax, a joyous word, said no one, ever. Thanks to Benjamin Franklin, they're now regarded, like death, as one of life's inevitables. But never mind all that. What cruel and heartless soul decided they were necessary to begin with? Jay Starkman is author of The Sex of a Hippopotamus, A Unique History of Taxes and Accounting. Hello, Jay. Congratulations on a fabulous book title. That's one to remember.
Thank you. A lot of people like it and some people don't. But the people who like it really get excited when they see it.
How did you come up with that title, first of all?
I had read it in 1976 in a book on tax essays. And it was written by a professor emeritus at Columbia University. And he would go before the tax writing committees of Congress and complain that the tax laws that they were writing are like the sex of a hippopotamus. That is, they were so vague that you could not predict how a court would interpret them.
Jay, how did taxes come to be in the very first place? Where, when, and why?
Oh, gosh. It's probably the oldest profession after the third oldest profession after lawyers. Whenever you create a government, you need public service. You need a way to pay for it, even whether it's in a tribe. You have it. I mean, look, Moses took the Israelites through the desert, and it said that God wanted to count them because he loved his people, but it was unseemly to count heads. So he had them contribute a half a shekel apiece, and he collected 300,000 shekels doing that. In fact, God loved his people so much that he counted them three times in that first year that they left Egypt and collected almost a million shekels in that first year. A working man's wages was about six shekels a year, so to collect 1.5 shekels from each person was a substantial levy.
That's right. So there are a lot of biblical references to the tax man and tax collecting, aren't they? They firmly have their roots.
Oh, yes. The whole reason Joseph had to go to Bethlehem was to pay taxes. You had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because you had to pay the tax in the place that you're originally from. So he went to Bethlehem, and of course everybody was going to Bethlehem to pay their taxes, and therefore there wasn't any room. They had to spend the night in the manger.
That's right. I mean, even Joseph and Mary couldn't escape the tax man. Jay, tax collectors don't have a good reputation, really, do they? Has that always been the case?
That has always been the case because it was arbitrary. I mean, look, in Luke chapter 9, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood there and said this prayer to himself: I thank you, God, that I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous, like the rest of mankind, particularly that I am not like this tax collector. Tax collecting was arbitrary. Initially, you asked me what kind of taxes they collected, how did it start. The initial taxes were excises, occupation taxes, poll taxes. We don't do those poll taxes, particularly not today, because it doesn't raise any revenue. That's why we have graduated tax rates.
And looking back at other early civilizations, how did the tax system come into play in, say, the Chinese, the Greek, the Roman, the Incas, in their civilizations?
The Chinese I once came across, and they had taxes on some various things. Salt taxes were one of the things with the Chinese tax. Great Britain had salt taxes also. But the salt tax, you know, the French Revolution, one of the great causes of the French Revolution was taxes. And people, in the top five reasons for the French Revolution was taxes, and particularly the most hated one was the salt tax. And they employed some 200,000 people in France, pre-revolutionary France, just to collect the salt tax. And they called the tax collectors maltotiers, evil taxers. And after the revolution, during the Reign of Terror, they took all the tax collectors and they sent to the guillotine or hanged them. The chemist Lavoisier was a member of the Fermerie Generale, which collected the salt taxes, and he was sent to the guillotine.
I'm speaking with Jay Starkman, a certified practicing accountant and author of The Sex of a Hippopotamus, a unique history of taxes and accounting. Chatting to Jay from Atlanta, Georgia. Jay, tell me about the salt tax in France that you just mentioned. How did that work?
They wanted to make sure that everyone paid the tax. So they passed the requirement that everyone had to buy a certain amount of salt during the year. And it was an inefficient tax. It was somewhat of a franchise by the king. There were about 3,000 Frenchmen who were imprisoned or executed annually for a violation of the salt tax. For minor violations, they would brand you with the fleur-de-lis.
Jay, were there any civilizations who avoided introducing tax?
Some modern places don't impose taxes. Saudi Arabia, until just, I think, this year, it was not imposing income taxes. There are a number of states in the United States that do not impose income taxes, Nevada, Texas. The reason they don't is they rely on oil revenues, Nevada from gambling revenues. So they need some source of revenue to run the government, but they don't necessarily need it from taxing people with an income tax or a sales tax, where it falls directly or indirectly upon them.
Tell me about tax havens.
What happened is people were hiding their income, and as governments became more sophisticated in catching people who are not paying their taxes, people looked for new ways to hide them. So, for example, in the United States, the first income tax was imposed during the Civil War, and until even in the late 1920s, people were not paying income tax. The government might collect it from people in the cities, but they couldn't collect it, say, from farmers in the countryside. In the state of Virginia, they imposed an income tax in 1909, and after collecting about $100,000, they repealed it because their tax collectors, when they went to the rural areas, were never heard from again. There are a number of countries that where taxes are negotiable. So in India, tax agents make very low salaries, but the tips are terrific. Lawyers in Miami tell me that with their European clients, they need to convince that United States tax rates are lower than they are in Europe, so they don't need to hide as much income. But they also tell me that they need to tell their South American clients what taxes are.
I see. So everyone's got their own little tax rules and loopholes to juggle through, don't they? No matter where they live in the world, it seems.
That's right. That's right. But in the Panama Papers that came out, United States individuals are not very much included in there. I think less than 2% were U.S. individuals. They're more sophisticated than that. But if you go through those lists, you find a lot of corporations that are incorporated in Nevada and South Dakota, two states in the United States, which require almost no information to set up a corporation. So you can set up a corporation, and the government will have a hard time figuring out who owns the corporation or where their income is. So the United States, while demanding other countries cooperate with it in finding U.S. scoff laws, we ourselves are partly to blame for being a tax haven for people from other countries.
Do you think we could live without taxes now, Jay, or would everything just implode?
It wouldn't implode. You need to collect sufficient taxes to pay for the government services that people demand. In the United States, we're not collecting it today. We are spending 50% more than we collect, and we know it's unsustainable. That's why the United States deficit is approaching $20 billion very soon, and that will come back to haunt one day. Puerto Rico is now defaulting on its debt because they've spent much more than they could and they taxed, and they cannot pay it.
Speaking about the U.S., we're going to be talking about strange taxes in the U.S. shortly, but there have been some odd ones definitely throughout history. Scotland had a window tax, I understand.
That's correct. It wasn't just Scotland. Scotland had a window tax which began in 1696, and it was supposed to be a temporary tax to help fight a war, but they kept it for 155 years. And I understand if you go to Scotland, you can still see some of these old buildings where they covered up, they bricked in what were windows or painted windows on their houses to make it look like it was airy, but it was actually considered a tax on light and air.
Well,
it was very much hated, yes. And they also taxed doors and hearths. A number of other countries tried it as well, but in particular the United States also imposed a window tax. Back in 1798, they imposed a property tax, which was based on the number of windows that a home had. Now, remember, back then there were no statistics on what a home was worth. You couldn't go to a realtor and say, what are these houses worth? So a crude way to value a house was to count the number of windows it had. Now, in the United States, this became known as the hot water war, because when the window tax collectors came around to measure the windows on homes, the homeowners would open the windows and douse the tax collectors with hot water.
Oh, they had it coming for them. In Russia, Peter the Great had a tax on beards. What was that about?
Yes, indeed. Well, Peter the Great would try to modernize Russia. One of the treasured grooming of Russian men was to have a nice beard. But he found that beards were unfashionable in the rest of Europe. The fact it was considered an attribute of manhood in Russia didn't stand in the way of Peter the Great, who murdered his own son. When he wanted something done, he got it done. So in 1705, he issued a fiat that the army and all citizens from nobles to serfs should shave their beards. And after allowing some time for the people to get used to the idea, those who choose to keep their beards had to pay a tax of 100 rubles. Priests and serfs could retain their beards upon payment of one kopeck every time they passed through the city gate.
Mm.
And those who refused to pay the tax or couldn't produce the receipt upon entry into a town were thrown into prison. It wasn't just daring, but it was successful, and it was an early example of how taxes can be used to change social behavior.
Very interesting. I wonder if some people who tried to hide their beards had a close shave with the authorities.
Well,
Jay, ha ha.
Well, actually, as I said, Peter the Great not only murdered his son, he executed his Moscow militia.
Mm.
And so people knew that you didn't want to fool around with Peter the Great. And
no.
So discontent with the beard edict was widespread, but men thought it wiser to pay the tax or cut off their beards than risk ruthless Peter.
And just just a final couple of questions, Jay. What tax do you not actually mind paying?
People have a number of taxes they consider less intrusive, and people actually consider the income tax a very intrusive tax. Most people consider a sales tax much fairer, but the sales tax happens to not be a fair tax. It happens to be a regressive tax because very wealthy people don't pay it on all of their income, whereas poor people not only pay it on all their income, they have to pay sales tax when they buy something on borrowed money. So the idea, the people, as I said, they prefer the sales tax. In any vote, what would you prefer, an income tax or a sales tax? The sales tax is preferred.
And is there a tax, finally, Jay, that you really resent paying?
That I resent paying? Well, can't help it, can I? it doesn't matter whether I resent it or not. There are many taxes worldwide. Probably, if I lived in Saudi Arabia, I would object to the zakat tax or the jihad tax that they had in Egypt for a while. You should also note that it was proposed by no other than Jonathan Swift in his Gulliver's Travels, that sex be taxed.
There's an interesting concept.
That can be a very interesting concept.
Well,
and he suggested in Book 3 and Chapter 6 of Gulliver's Travels.
Well, Jay, what a point to leave it on. Jay Starkman, author of The Sex of a Hippopotamus, A Unique History of Taxes and Accounting. Thank you very much for your time today speaking to us from Atlanta. It's been great to have you on Afternoons. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you so much. Bye.